Blog Talk Radio.
Keep fighting voices in.
Snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Thank you. portion of the show. Let's get into the message now. Amen. All right. Let's everybody bow our head for prayer. Oh, Lord and God, in exaltation, our hearts go out to you and your revelation of heaven, your revelation of the Spirit who can fill our hearts so that we can remain steadfast throughout our earthly life, Lord. It is still dark on earth, Lord. Sin and death hold sway, okay? But we stand unafraid and seek repentance, Lord. Despite all of our failures, we look to you and know you are our Savior, Lord. You send us Jesus Christ in your own glory, Lord. The world will be filled with light, Lord, everywhere on earth, even among those who do not know you, Lord. Since the sincere-hearted will come to acknowledge that you, the Father of Jesus Christ, and all our Father are God all over the world, Lord. You will show your glory to all people, Lord, so that they may come to you, worship you, and walk in the light, Lord, to the everlasting glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the theme of tonight's service is the ark was nothing to those without until the rain fell. And our message tonight is come thou into the ark, and it's taken from Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Now, you see, Noah's ark was a symbol of salvation, is the first part. And two, Noah's ark was a source of safety. And thirdly, Noah's ark was a ship of stumbling. See, I heard a story of a 9-year-old girl who returned from Sunday school, and as her father was sitting down with his newspaper after a delicious Sunday lunch, she asked him some questions. She said, "Daddy, why did God make all the leaves green?" He thought a moment and replied, "I don't know." Then she asked, "What did God do before he made the world again?" He said, "I don't know." She asked him another one, "Daddy, how did Noah catch the two snakes and put them in the ark?" He put down the newspaper and said, "I don't know." The little girl sensed that her father was a bit restless, so she asked, "Do you mind if I ask you questions?" And he replied, "Not at all. How are you going to learn anything if you don't ask questions?" So let's look at some Bible riddles. What kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? The answer is ruthless. What do they call pastors in Germany? German shepherds. Agreed? Who was the greatest financier in the Bible? Noah. He was floating his stock while everyone else was in liquidation. Who was the greatest female financier in the Bible? Pharaoh's daughter. She went down to the bank of the Nile and drew out a little profit. What kind of motor vehicles are in the Bible? Jehovah drove Adam and Eve out of the garden in a fury. David's triumph was heard throughout the land. Also, there was a Honda because the apostles were all in one accord. Well, who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Samson. He brought the house down. What excuses did Adam give to his children as to why he no longer lived in Eden? And he said, "Your mother ate us out of house and home." Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. Which area of Palestine is especially wealthy? The area around Jordan. Banks were always overflowing. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, the son of Nun. Why didn't they play cards on the ark? Because Noah was standing on the deck. Did you know it's sin for a woman to make coffee? Yep, in the Bible it says he brews. So in our sermon today, we're going to look at the ark and realize that it was a vehicle of salvation, safety, and stumbling. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13 says, "Son of man, when the land sinned, against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out mine hand upon it, and I will break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14. Those three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God. See, Ezekiel lifts up Noah, Daniel, and Job as three of the Old Testament's most righteous men. We must never minimize the faith of Noah or faithfulness of the mighty man of God. Noah was one of the most faithful men in the Bible, and the other, Job. He may have been one of the most patient men of his age. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 6, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. In Genesis 9:28, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. In Genesis 9:29, and all the days of Noah were 950 years as he died. So Noah is introduced to us at the age of 500 years old when he has his three sons. Then they are told that he was 600 years old at the time of the flood, and then he lived 350 more years after the flood. So his assignment is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without the pitch. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person and preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So the only way it could have taken Noah 120 years to build the ark was for him to have started at age 580 years old. His accomplishment, okay, in Genesis chapter 6, 22, thus did Noah according to all that God had commanded him, and so did he. In Genesis 7, verse 5, and Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. So Noah's ark was a symbol of salvation. In John chapter 5, 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In John chapter 5, 39, okay, you will search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but scriptures point to me. That's in the NLT. Okay, in the CSB, in John 5:39, you pour over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, and yet they testify about me. Okay, in John 5:39, the Amplified Bible, you search and investigate and pour over the scriptures digitally because you suppose and trust that you have eternal life through them, and these very scriptures testify about me. So let's take a close look into the story before us. And if we look close enough, we may see Jesus in his divine plan of salvation for a sinful world. Jesus is hidden throughout the Bible, and we need to find him. The ark's divine designer. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou milk thy heart, and shall pitch it within and without pitch. Noah did not deserve to receive the grace and mercy of God, but it originated with the heart of God. The Lord devised a plan to save those that wanted to be saved, and he would not impose his grace upon any man or woman, but he would make it available to anyone that wanted to receive it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And Job chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not what we love God, but he has loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, Adam and Eve chose sin. Cain chose sin. In the end, we find that literally the entire race thirsted after sin. But this does not catch God by surprise. He had a plan in place before the participants had even entered the game. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, him being delivered by a determined course and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of Lamb, slain from the foundations of the world. The moment of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, God was not caught off guard, nor did he have to swiftly devise a plan. He already had a plan of salvation in place. The plan of salvation was discussed before man ever breathed his first breath of fresh air. The Lord was not pacing the floors of eternity wondering what he was going to do. He did not lose any sleep due to being worried or anxious because of Adam's sin. It was autumn, and the Indians on the remote reservation asked their new chief if the winter was going to be cold or mild. Since he was an Indian chief in modern society, he had never been taught the old secrets. So when he looked at the sky, he couldn't tell whether the weather was going to be. Nevertheless, to be on the safe side, he replied to his tribe, the winter was indeed going to be cold, and that the members of the village should collect firewood to be prepared. Also, being a practical leader, after several days, he got an idea. He went to the phone booth, called the National Weather Service, and asked, is the coming winter going to be cold? It looks like this winter is going to be quite cold indeed, the meteorologist of the Weather Service responded. So the chief went back to the people and told them to collect even more wood in order to be prepared. So a week later, he called the National Weather Service again. Is it going to be very, very cold this winter? Yes, the man of the National Weather Service again replied, it's definitely going to be a very cold winter. So the chief again went back to the people and ordered them to collect every scrap of wood they could find. So 2 weeks later, he called the National Weather Service again. Are you sure the winter is going to be very cold? Absolutely, the man replied, it's going to be one of the coldest winters ever. So how can you be sure? The chief asked. The weatherman replied, the Indians are collecting wood like crazy. So, let's look at the ark's distant door. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 16, a window shall thou make thou ark, and a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall thou set inside thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives and thee. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all and thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 13, in the selfsame day, Noah entered Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and three wives of his sons with them into the ark. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, and they went in male and female of all flesh, as God has commanded them, and the Lord shut them in. The Lord had designed the dimensions of the ark and was very specific to the location of the door. They only had one door, and nobody was able to go on board the ark until the divine invitation of God. There was only one way to enter the ark, and that was through the door. And there was only one specific time to go inside the ark, and that time was the divine bidding of God. In John chapter 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me to draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the Lord had given the world 120 years of grace, but not one of them made a move toward trusting in his mercy or grace. the ark was being built right before their eyes, and they would have inquired as to why it was being built. I can hear Noah sharing with them about the previous encounter with God and his commitment to build the Lord's boat. I can hear them as they laugh and mock at Noah at the boat, and the story of the coming flood seemed absurd because it had never rained. But people did not know, but every board being placed on the ark meant that time was running out. Every day that Noah got up and went to work brought them closer to the coming judgment of God. So are you truly saved today? If you have never been saved, when do you plan on asking the Lord to save your soul? What if today is your last day? Will you be ready to stand before God? Let's look at Noah's Ark was a source of safety. Harry Ironside stated that salvation was like Noah inviting a pagan in his day to a place of trust in God's word and coming to the ark. Some view salvation like Noah offering to put a peg on the outside of the ark. If you just hang on through the storm, you'll be saved. Salvation is not dependent on your holding on to God, but on your being securely held by and in Christ. A man once came to D.L. Moody and said he was worried because he didn't feel safe. Moody asked, was Noah safe in the ark? Certainly he was, the man replied. What made him safe? His feeling or the ark? And the inquirer got the point. How foolish have I been? He said, it's not my feeling. It is Christ who saves. The storm was approaching. 120 years of grace had now dwindled down to merely 7 days. The Lord told Noah and his family to get on board the ark, and the ark would prove to be a divine source of safety. The invitation of God has always come, and it came from the beginning of creation, and it will come until the very end of this world. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house and the ark, for thee have seen righteous before me in this generation. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, come now, therefore, I will send thee into the Pharaoh, thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord, through your sins, scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah chapter 55, 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye into the waters, and ye have no money, come ye buy ye, and ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In John 7:37, in the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In Revelation 22, verse 17, and the spirit of the bride said, come and let him that heareth say, come and let him and thirst come. And whoever will let him take the water of life freely. St. Augustine said, I have read in Plato and Cicero sayings that are very wise and very beautiful, but I never read in either of them, come unto me all ye that labor or heavy laden. Amen. So let's look at some severe implications. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. It was a cold winter day. A carcass on the ice flowed slowly down the Niagara River. An eagle flying overhead spied the easy prey below and descended upon it. He began to eat. As he did, the water of the river began slowly pushing the flow towards the falls. But could not the eagle stretch forth his great wings and fly? Could he not at the very brink of the falls leap into the safety of the air? Had he not done so 1,000 times before? So slowly he continued to eat, and as he waited, the water of the river began pushing the flow faster and faster and closer to the falls, until the roar of the falls began to echo throughout the canyon. He waited until the very midst of the falls began rising above his head. Finally, he stretched forth his great wings to fly. Unknown to him, his talons sunk in the frozen flesh of the prey and sunk in the ice of the floe, and it had frozen solid. His fate was sealed. He struggled and then struggled and tried to get away, but he could not until at least the ice floe went over the falls into the rocks below, and he had waited too long. The Bible says that upon Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three daughters-in-law entered the ark, and God shut them in. Genesis 7:16, and they went in male and female of all flesh, and God commanded him and the Lord shut them in. The Lord shut them in, and once the door was shut, it was over. The people had experienced 120 years of evangelism and invitation, and all they had to do during those days was to trust in the Lord. Amen. Well, this brings us to the end of the sermon. So, please, let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, whose might is over all the earth, we thank you for all the love you show us. We also thank you for everything that seems hard, but which you can change into the help and strength, Lord. We want to thank you in life and death, Lord, in joy and in sorrow, Lord, for you are the great and mighty God, Lord, who calls us to life again and again, Lord, who leads us to full life, Lord. You have given us great love in Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord. He shall always be before our eyes and remain in our hearts, Lord. Through him we can cry out in joy, Abba, dear Father. Okay, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this brings me to the invitation, the most important question of all. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will have a chance to in a few moments. Are you tired of walking aimlessly in life, not knowing where you're going? Not having a plan or a clue what to do? Are you lost but need to be found? Or maybe you're suffering from some kind of depression or anxiety. Or maybe you're suffering from some type of addiction such as alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, or overeating. You see, God can take that away, but in order for him to do so, he has to know you. And if he doesn't know you, he's not going to do anything for you. So I ask you, with this being known, will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ today to be your personal Lord and Savior? If so, please say this simple little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So I want to say thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior today. And we pray this in mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to say thank you. We're going to pray for you. Okay, and then when we say, may the Lord bless you and keep you highly favored. Okay, we have a call-in number that you can call. okay? And you can tell us if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Lord Savior, today. I want you to call area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that is 657-383-1487, and then press the 1 key. You see, when you press the 1 key, you will come on live and you will tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ today to be your personal Lord and Savior. Okay, right now, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all of his angels, and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Please call in. Be that first caller, okay? Because that first caller may trickle 100 more. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm gonna play some music here. Okay, I'm gonna play a song. Okay, that I normally play when I do an altar call, and that's "Oh, Come to the Altar." Here we go.
Have you come to the end of?
bless. Okay, have a great week. Okay, and come back and follow with us. Okay, Tuesday night with Purpose Gospel Radio, and we'll pick up from there. Amen. Good night. Bye bye.